look to the Lord. O gracious and eternal God, we give you thanks and praise and honor and glory. We've been praying. We've been sowing. Now, God, we are waiting on you to send the rain, God. Send revival. Refresh our souls. Renew our journey. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bless your name. Send the rain, God. Renew us. Revive us again. Speak, God. Your servants are listening. We love you, God. We praise your holy name. Now send a fresh wind and fresh fire. Your word says that we love you because you first loved us. We thank you, God, for that indescribable gift in your Son, Jesus Christ. And we pray that your word will nourish our souls, that we might leave here a changed people. Speak, God. Your servants are listening. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give God some praise for Redeem and the musicians and the praise team. Amen, amen. What a wonderful time in the Lord we've had so far. Amen. I want you to turn with me to the book of Acts, the 19th chapter. And I'll be reading Acts 19, 1 through 8. Acts 19, 1 through 8. Please stand in reverence to the word of God. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth, that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, finding some disciples. He said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" So they said to him, "We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." And he said to them, "Unto what then were you baptized?" So they said, "Unto John's baptism." Then Paul said, "John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now the men were about 12 in all. And he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God." You may be seated. I want to talk this morning from the subject, "Have you got good religion? Have you got good religion?" Last week we celebrated the birthday of Martin Luther King that led the civil rights movement. But during the civil rights movement, they used to sing a number of protest songs like "We Shall Not Be Moved" and "We Shall Overcome." And in the one that we love to sing every Black History Month, "Lift Every Voice and Sing." But one of those songs that they used to sing was called "Certainly Lord." And it went something like this: "Do you want your freedom?" And they said, "Do you want your freedom? Will you march for rights? Will you march for rights? Will you go to jail?" I'm sure everybody didn't respond to that one. "Will you go to jail? Jail over bail. I got weaker and weaker. Jail over bail. But that song was taken from a gospel song. And the song, the original song went something like this. Have you got good religion? Have you got good religion? Have you got good religion? Have you been to the pool? Have you been to the pool? Have you been baptized? Have you been baptized? Is your name on high? Is your name on high? How many of you can really say that this morning, that you got good religion this morning? Give God some praise if you have good religion. Paul was asking the question that I want to ask everyone today. Have you got good religion? Have you got good religion? Good religion is not just believing in God. Good religion is not believing in God. In fact, very quickly, if you turn with me in John and James 2:19, it says, you believe that there is one God, you do well. But even the demons believe and tremble. Just because you believe in God and even one God doesn't mean that you have good religion. How many of you know that this morning? It's not good religion. Even the Jews believe in a one God and they worship God. Even the Muslims believe in God and they worship God. So I want you to know this morning that having good religion is just not you believing that there is a God, and even if in believing that there's one God. Good religion is not just about what denomination you attend. Whether you're Catholic or Protestant, which includes everything that's not Catholic on the Christian side of things, whether you are Methodist or Presbyterians, what they call the frozen chosen, or you are Pentecostal that's filled with a happy dance and speaking in tongue, or Baptist like we are, none of that on its own indicates whether or not you have good religion. In fact, even if you are a quote-unquote good person, and you know that's broad for us, I don't sell drugs, I haven't murdered anyone. Even if you think you are a good person, that alone is not good religion. Paul teaches us what good religion is all about. Paul in chapter 19, verse 1 says, and it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, finding some disciples. That means followers. Now, were they followers of John the Baptist or Jesus? It's not clear. He said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? That makes me believe they were believers. Now, to understand this context, you have to go back to Acts 18, starting at verse 24. Apollos was a great orator. He could preach, he could teach, he had charisma, but he was off in his theology. He was off in the doctrine of Jesus. So if you go back to Acts 18, verse 24, we find these words. Now a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, somebody say he was fervent in spirit. You can be fervent in spirit, you got your own happy ghost, you're excited about the Lord, and you still can be off in your belief. He spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. Underscore that in your Bible. John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. It was only pointing to Jesus. But this is what Apollos, this is all he knew. So he began to speak boldly in the synagogues. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he desired to cross to Achaia, the brethren wrote exhorting the disciples to receive him. And when he arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace. For he vigorously refuted the Jews publicly, showing from the scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. Now, what was often his theology, he clearly knew Jesus was the Christ. What was often his theology, we're not clear on, but something was off in his teaching. And even though Priscilla and Aquila pulled him aside and tried to correct him, he was still off in his understanding of the gospel. And so Paul picks up something, and the folks who had heard his message, and these, if you want to believe, these new converts. And when Paul asked in Acts 19, and it happened when Apollos was at Corinth, that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, Paul, for some reason, said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Ghost when you believed?" Translation, have you got good religion? Turn to your neighbor, did you receive the Holy Ghost? Say it all, did you receive the Holy Ghost when you believed? My brothers and sisters, something was off that Paul picked up in the Christians at Ephesus. They may have been shouting, they may have been filled with some things, but he felt that they had not embraced the whole gospel of Jesus Christ. So the first thing you need, if you're going to have quote unquote good religion, you have to believe soundly on the Son of God, who is Jesus Christ. If you're going to have good religion, you can't just believe anything. You've got to believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. If you're going to have good religion, you have to believe Romans 3:23 is right. That all, somebody say all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That means even though I wear this robe, I have sinned. Even though they're carrying the Pope, he has sinned. Even though your children may look innocent to you, they have sinned. No matter where you are and who you are, all means all, have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You've got to believe right to have right religion. Not only must you believe that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, you must believe Romans 6:23, that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ. How many of you happy about that this morning? I know we're living in a pluralistic world that wants to be tolerant and wants to believe there's many ways to God, but all I know is what the Bible says, and Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man," somebody say no man, "comes to the Father but by me." I want to remind folks, Jesus didn't say, "I am a way." He says, "I am the way." Now, I don't have a problem. If I get to heaven and Jewish people are there, if I get to heaven and unbelievers in Christ are there, if I get to heaven and folks who I think may be morally off are there, I'm good with all of that because I don't have a heaven and hell to put nobody in. But when I tell people about these controversial issues, all I say is this: I see no support for it, or I see support for it in the Bible. My brothers and sisters, if you're going to have good religion this morning, you have to believe. You have to believe in Jesus. Turn to your neighbor and say, "I believe." Paul said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Ghost when you believed?" Now, there's a lot of controversy about how one receives the Holy Spirit. And raise your hand if you can identify with my journey. And so about 10 years into my faith, I was serious, I was growing in God, but there were those around me who had something that I wanted to speak in tongues. So I went to private sessions and had folks lay their hands on me. They told me I didn't fall out, didn't start speaking in tongues. They told me just go in a car, park somewhere, and just speak, you know, baby talk, blah, 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 blah. And I'm glad y'all didn't see me. I tried all of that. I was trying to get something that I thought I didn't have. They had me believe that I did not have the Holy Spirit. But we find in Acts, keep your Bibles open, we find, and by the way, I didn't mention that this morning, 25 years later, God did give me that gift of tongue, I call a prayer language, in my basement one Saturday afternoon. But believe it or not, my wife, who you know is very conservative, but she was in Haiti with the Robinson, Niara's mom, what's her name, Jackie Kelly, and she's in Haiti. They saw a devastation and hospitals with dirt floors and people in poverty, and in Haiti. And she was embarrassed to tell me she came back from Haiti a week after I started speaking in tongue and told me that she was in Haiti and she was speaking in tongue. I mean, and so I believe in folks speaking in tongue, but what I'm trying to establish here today is that just because you don't speak in tongue does not mean that you have not been baptized with the Spirit of the living God. And just because someone has not laid hands on you, and I'm going to establish all of this in the scriptures, does not mean that God has not given you his Holy Spirit. Because I believe the scripture validates that once you receive Jesus Christ, he gives us his Holy Spirit. Somebody say amen. Amen. There are four occasions in Acts that I want to go over. Four experiences and encounters with the living, with the Holy Spirit. One was one very familiar occurrence on the day of Pentecost. On the day of Pentecost, the disciples were in the upper room, and he told them to go there and wait for the outpouring of the Spirit. That's in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 8, we find the Holy Spirit coming to the Samaritans. And then in Acts chapter 10, we find them coming to God-fearing Gentiles. And in the chapter that we're studying in this text today, in Acts 19, we find the Holy Spirit coming to the Ephesians. Now, it's interesting that the Holy Spirit does not come in the same way. On some of them, they were baptized, then they received the Holy Spirit. On some of them, they were baptized, they believed in all of their cases. Somebody say believe. They believe first. There's no situation in the Bible where folks did not believe in Jesus Christ. That's why that's the first thing you need to have good religion. But after that, it varies. Some of them, there was a gap between them being filled with the Holy Spirit, and sometimes it required somebody laying hands on them. This is my theory. The Christian world is separated in this regard, but I believe, and other scholars believe with me, that in Acts there was a gap in the demonstration or the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and that gap between belief and them being baptized, I believe, and others do as well, is because in these situations that I'm going to tell you, in all four, God was doing something new, and it required the authenticity of what God was doing. It required the sanction of the apostles. So in these times, the apostles were there, and they laid hands on them, and it was saying to the unbelieving world, when they laid hands on them, that they too were being allowed into the body of Christ. I don't believe there is a delay anymore. I believe that when you receive Jesus Christ, you receive his Holy Spirit. But in the Acts, the apostles were on the scene in the upper room. The apostles were on the scene when it came to the Samaritans. The apostles were on the scene when it came to the Ephesians, and they were on the scene when it came to the Gentiles, and it was almost their sanctioning of what God was doing in this new way. So in Acts chapter 2, very familiar, we find the disciples of Jesus in the upper room. And in Acts 2:2, it says, "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each other, and they were all filled." Somebody say they were filled. "They were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to receive with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." That's one of the fillings. Nobody laid hands on them, but the Holy Spirit came and descended on them, and God gave them utterance of other tongues. In that same chapter, after they were filled, however, that Peter preaches to them, and if you go over to verse 40, Peter is preaching to them, and he says these words, "And with many other words, he's testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his words were baptized." They received, that means that they believed in the gospel of Jesus Christ. They were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added. And there's no indication whether or not when they received the Holy Spirit that they spoke in tongue. The second verses that I want you to look at is the Holy Spirit coming to the Samaritans. You remember the Samaritans, they were Jews, and there was a split and there was hatred between the Samaritans and the Jews on a number of theological issues. But in Acts chapter 8, God is doing a new thing. He's spreading the gospel from the Jews to the Samaritans. And in Acts chapter 8, in verse 14, we find these words. "Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that the Samaritans had received the word of God." This is so key. When they heard that the Samaritans had received the word of God, here's the apostles now being brought to sanction what the Holy Spirit is doing. "They sent Peter and John to them. And when they had come down, prayed for them, that they might receive the Holy Spirit." Here is this gap. They received the word of God. I have to believe that they believed, but they waited for Peter and John to come that they might receive the Holy Spirit. "For as yet he had not fallen upon none of them, that they had only believed, they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus." Verse 17 says, "Then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit." Again, there's no indication that when they received it this time, they spoke in tongues. They may have or may not, but they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Once again, there was a gap. Some scholars believe, again, that God was doing a new thing, and the apostles were there to give credence and validate what God was doing. And the laying of the hand was the official welcoming them in. Some scholars believe into the church. All right. Now the third verse that I want you to look at is in Acts 10, 44 through 48. And these are God-fearing Gentiles. Amen. In Acts 10, 44 through 48. Why do we know these are God-fearing Gentiles? Because Acts 10 says, talking about Cornelius, "And a devout man, one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always." So Peter has this vision. God tells Cornelius to go get Peter. Peter comes and preaches the gospel to them. And then in verse 44, his response to the word of God. "While Peter was still speaking these words, didn't lay hands on them. They were not yet even baptized while Peter was still speaking these words. The Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision, the Jews, who believed were astonished. As many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit that they received in Acts 2, the gift that they thought was just for the Jewish people, is now being manifested in the Gentiles. Because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. I mean, you know, God is always doing something bigger and better and broader and wider than we can ever imagine. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnified God. And then Peter answered, "Can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" So we find the Holy Spirit operating in this new context of the new covenant in various ways, but in all of these occasions where we see the apostles on hand, they are ushering in this new thing that God is doing, sometimes with the laying on of hand, sometimes with just the preached word, and the Holy Ghost is falling. But the one thing that is constant that I want to really emphasize in all of the situations, they believed. And if you're going to have good religion, you must first believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then if you go back to chapter 19, verse 2, he said that you receive the Holy Spirit when you believe. These are the Ephesians. They said we had not even heard. They had only been baptized in John's baptism. It was a baptism of repentance. And then Paul preached to them and baptized them in the name of the Lord Jesus, verse 5. And Paul, one of the apostles, laid his hands on them, and the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Now, again, there is a split in the church. And if you were like me, it stole my joy. Because those who had been speaking in tongues told me that I wasn't saved, that I was not baptized with the Holy Spirit, because at that time I did not speak in tongues. But the Bible does not support that. Turn to John 16. John 16. And by the way, I marveled at those who were speaking in tongues. I thought they had something special, and it is a gift. And I if you have it, God bless you. But it doesn't separate you from those who don't have it. What struck me is two things about those who were speaking in tongues. Right when they left church, they weren't speaking in a spiritual tongue. I heard them some of those times speaking in another tongue. Amen. Like profanity. I heard them doing other things. And one thing that I have determined in my journey, if you've had a real encounter with the living God, your life cannot remain the same. Where am I coming from when I say that everyone who believes has the Holy Spirit? In John 16, this is the words of Jesus. In John 16, he's talking about when he is going to be crucified and ascend to heaven. Jesus says in John 16, 5, "But now I go away to him who sent me. And none of you ask me, where are you going? Because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper," everybody say the helper, God has sent us the Holy Spirit to be our helper. He will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you. My brothers and sisters, not only does good religion require that you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, good religion also requires that you live into what you have received. That is, you must live in the fact that he has given you his Holy Spirit, an indwelling spirit, to live a dynamic life, a created life, to be your helper. Jesus says, when he goes away, he's going to send his helper. That's one thing that I want you to see is the role of the Holy Spirit. And verse 8 says, and when he comes, he will convict. Not only will the Holy Spirit, has the Holy Spirit come to be our helper, he's also to come to convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. I said this morning, and I guess I shouldn't say I'm not trying to step on anybody's toes. It's all right if I do. I said this morning that when I was in college and growing in my faith, I accepted Jesus Christ, but I wasn't living right. And I went on not living right, but the more I read his word and the more I began to grow, the Holy Spirit began to convict me. One of my mentors used to say it's the difference between sinning and making arrangements to sin. You may have an issue with lust, and maybe you're involved in premarital sex, but maybe you fall off and you get back on. But if you're living with somebody, you've made an arrangement to sin. I know y'all can get quiet, but that's all right. It got to a point in my own spiritual journey when the Holy Spirit began to convict me, I couldn't enjoy sin anymore. You can grieve the Spirit. You can do what you know God doesn't want you to do. But when the Holy Spirit is in you, the Bible says it will convict you. You can't just treat people bad. You can't just live a blatantly sinful life. And if you do, you can't enjoy it like you used to. Have you got good religion this morning? Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you received and living into your faith this morning? That is good religion. I'm still in John chapter 16. It says in verse 10, he will also convict you of righteousness because I go on my Father and you see me no more, of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. Go down to verse 13. Not only has God given us the Holy Spirit to be our helper and to convict us, 13 says he's the Spirit of truth. And I believe so much we need that Spirit to rule and reign in this day. Not only is he the Spirit of truth, he will guide you into all truth. If you need answers this morning, tell the Holy Spirit to guide you this morning. If you're looking for direction this morning, tell the Holy Spirit to direct you and guide you and help you navigate this crazy life. My brothers and sisters, I believe, I'm going to say again, that everyone who has accepted Jesus Christ has been given his Holy Spirit as a helper, as someone to convict you. And I'm going to go further. I believe that the Word of God says if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you are not his. Turn to Romans 8. Romans 8 and 9 says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. So it's bigger than being able to speak in tongues. It's bigger than just your prayer language or gift of interpretation. If you don't have the Spirit of God dwelling in you, the Bible says you're not one of his. Turn to Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14 says that God has given us his Spirit as a seal of salvation. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14 says, in him you also trusted after you heard, that's that belief piece, the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In him also, having believed. Everybody say, having believed. You got to believe if you want God to fill you with his Spirit. You were, having believed though, you were sealed. Didn't say after you spoke in tongues, didn't say after somebody laid hands on you. Having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance, under the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Now, and we're almost done because it's about 110 in here. Now, again, you can go back and study the scriptures. I want to be clear that I believe the scripture is clear that once you believe in Jesus Christ, God sends his Spirit to dwell in you. And there is evidence in Acts, but I believe it was for a particular time that there was a gap between believing and the apostles coming and laying their hands as God was doing this new thing. They were saying they too are in the body of Christ, and the Holy Spirit was poured out on them. But even before they did that, we see in Acts 8 that Peter was just preaching, and the Holy Spirit fell on them as he was preaching the word. But there still seems to be, to complicate things even more, my systematics teacher, my New Testament teacher, Professor Heim, is here, and I guess he will grade me on this sermon. Amen. But believe it or not, and I'd love to chat with you about this, that there still seems to be something different going on occasions. In other words, I'm clear about the fact that once you believe Jesus Christ, God sends his Holy Spirit to dwell in you. And if his Holy Spirit is not in you, you do not believe. I'm clear about the Holy Spirit acting in different ways in Acts. Sometimes the laying of the hands, sometimes standing just in the upper room, sometimes just with the preached gospel, and the Holy Spirit is poured out. And in many of those occasions, but not all, they spoke in tongue. What is also clear to me, there are times where after you've been baptized with the Holy Spirit, God gives you a particular feeling, a filling of that Spirit to do something much greater than what you would do in your own flesh, much greater than even the normal Christians will do. In other words, this feeling of the Holy Spirit seems to be a continuous thing that God gives us at particular times. Turn to Acts 4 and 8. We're almost done. Acts 4 and 8, we find this kind of feeling. After we already know the apostles have the Holy Spirit because they've been baptized in the upper room. Yet, in Acts 4 and 8, you find that Peter is filled. Acts 4 says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known. He was filled to be bold and stand up, even though it may lead to death or him being arrested. And to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you. Peter was filled to be bold for God. in Acts 7:55, we find another one of these feelings. But he, being full of the Holy, this is Stephen before he was martyred. It seems like when we're facing a test, anybody ever faced a test? You may want to ask for a special filling from the Lord. When Stephen was going to be martyred, the Bible says in Acts 7:55, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God, Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Lastly, Acts 13:52, and we're done. We've got to get the heat right in here. Amen. I want to applaud you, because when the temperature is this high, I usually have a whole lot of eyeballs kind of nodding out. I'm sure there's one or two that I've missed, but great job. Amen. Acts 13:52. I'm talking about special feeling of the Holy Spirit. And many believe, and I believe this is true, that the feeling of the Holy Spirit in a very special way is an ongoing thing for us to live out and accomplish great things at certain times. Acts 13:52 says, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. My brothers and sisters, what am I trying to say this morning? Have you got good religion? Have you got good religion? Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? There is no other way. Somebody say there's no other way. And secondly, to have good religion, you have to live into what you have received from Him. The Holy Spirit is indwelling in you, but because we're not trying to do big and bold things, the Holy Spirit is dormant. We are anemic Christians. We are not colored with like Christ in terms of our the way we carry ourselves. We are not living vital lives because we're not living into what God has given us. Before I close, there's a story that I think captures where we are. There's a story of a man who wants to go sailing, but he knows nothing of sailing, and so he begins to study a book and learn all about sailing, and his knowledge is high, but then he goes to someone who is knowledgeable of sailboats, and he learns all he can from an expert, and he gains so much knowledge that he could build a boat, but he goes and rents a boat, and he puts it on this beautiful lake and raises the sail and does not move. Because there was no wind. You can have all the knowledge. You can come to church. But God has to create the wind. So all I'm asking you to do this morning is set your sails up. Set your sails up. Believe our thing this morning. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Our theme, what is our theme? Yea, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loves us. Set your sails up and let the Holy Ghost move you closer to God. Let the Holy Ghost give you what you need to live a life victoriously. Do you have good religion this morning? Let the church say, certainly, Lord. Come on, let's give God some praise. As we stand to our feet, the